That's the spirit.
And like a total noob, I have accidentally hung up on Peter Lynham, so I'm just going to quickly give him a call. Would you look at that? Too excited. Called him a couple minutes early. And hopefully he picks up, even though I've already called him a couple times today. Are you there, Peter?
I'm here. I don't know what happened that time.
That was me hanging up on you. I'm so sorry.
Okay, no problem. No problem.
I was overprepared.
Yeah.
Which is not something you want to be, but we should get into the topic today because it's quite an interesting one.
Indeed, yeah.
And it's a term I wasn't familiar with, quiet revival.
Okay, so quiet revival was first became to use in 2023 when there was the dramatic events at a Wesleyan or Methodist university in, I think, Southern Carolina in the States, where they had a service that began and went for, I think, 3 weeks without a break.
Wow.
With quite an extraordinary number of people on the campus affected by it, very profoundly affected by it. And so from that came, I mean, let's face it, Christians have seen such a downturn in their numbers that anything that seems to be different gets them excited. This got people very excited. And so this was the quiet revival because it wasn't big and noisy, but it was lots of people kneeling at altars and making changes to their life patterns. Now, people have begun asking, is this continuing? And there's been a report from the UK that suggests that it is continuing. But quite a lot of the evidence that people point to seems to be a bit selective. It seems to be primarily a group of people between roughly leaving high school, so 17 or 18, through to 25, and mostly males.
Mm.
And that's quite an interesting pattern. Why would males be so interested in becoming Christians, often from quite a secular background? What is it that attracts them, and why not females? Now, there are no clear answers to this question, and even the data is a bit ephemeral. You know, we can't be sure how much content there is behind it, but certainly in the US, in some of the big universities where they keep figures of the people who are getting baptized as adults, they are seeing a striking difference between young adult conversions, especially to Catholicism and to the Orthodox churches. That's either the Russians or the Greek or various other forms of Orthodoxy. And that might be a clue as to what people are looking for. So that's the bit that people are talking about.
Mm. That's interesting. So there's, I guess, on surface level, you might assume that there's some connection maybe between, for young people especially, looking for a sense of community where it's not otherwise available, especially at the moment. And around COVID as well. I'd say that would have impacted people.
Yes, I think so. So the obvious explanations link it to all the studies about the rise in male suicides and other signs that there's a certain disjointed nature of masculinity at the moment. And all these poor males are feeling very threatened by clever and intelligent and well-connected females. This is obviously very broad in its generalisation.
Yeah.
For that reason, I'm just a little bit suspicious of it all. But there is no question that some of the triggers, like suicide figures and depression figures, there's far more men than in the past were admitting to this and needing to deal with it. So perhaps what we're seeing is some kinds of insecurities and the search for answers in religion. Well, that wouldn't be unusual, except why the most conservative forms of religion? Why don't they go for, well, some do go for Pentecostalism with, you know, the swinging from the rafters and the the loud music, the band music, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
But there really is quite striking evidence that some are converting to Catholicism, which is quite a big choice if your background isn't Catholic.
Yes.
Because, you know, you actually have to go through a lengthy period of catechism, of learning what you believe, and in that there's drilled into you a whole series of particular beliefs which would seem far from attractive to kind of modern young people, especially the conservative things that sees the nature of modern society as a serious distraction from proper behaviour, clean behaviour. These are all the words that get used quite a lot.
Yeah. It's interesting as well, there's also, I mean, probably this is me observation, but definitely in terms of rise of quite conservative social media influences and that content becoming quite viral.
Yes, so see, this is the Jordan Peterson effect, isn't it? Why do people listen to Jordan Peterson and get attracted to this, which seems so against the common values that you would have thought were pervasive in young people? But there's no doubt about it. We are seeing some turn to conservatism, though just what sort of conservatism isn't very clear.
Yeah, and what is aspirational for young people as well. It seems in some ways it could be even a sense of just things in a worldview that make things feel more stable.
In a world where they've experienced a lot of instability.
Yeah.
And that's common for young people, that's true. I feel terrible making generalisations about young people. Young people should speak up for themselves.
Yeah.
but certainly in the cases that I've seen of it, it does seem a quite defiant rejection of liberal, inclusive values.
Mm.
And so, for example, the sort of more touchy-feely search for a masculinity that is able to be sensitive and, contemporary in its approach, is it accused of being woke, and this woke terminology, which wants, but what does it want? You see, some reports that analyse this see the young men who turn to this as searching for a sense of finding their souls again. And others think they want a kind of brutal masculinity. And you can't have both very easily, I don't think.
No. You wouldn't. They seem quite opposite to each other, don't they? Yeah.
They do seem opposite. But certainly I have noticed the kind of search for a male trope where men can assert their cleverness and their dominance, and it's quite disturbing to watch this kind of phenomenon happening. But it certainly is happening for some. I don't know how much there is in New Zealand. Do you have any sense?
I feel like I'm not quite qualified to answer that, but I would say that I went to university twice, first right after high school, and then the second time just after the first COVID lockdown, and I was surprised at it seemed like a lot more students were going to church and Christian than before, and a lot of them were newer churches, the ones, I can't remember the names of them, but the more US-style kind of, you'd know the name.
So that phenomenon is a bit more clearly understood, and in New Zealand it's still apparent that significant numbers of young people go to churches like Life.
Yeah.
And even places like City Impact and Destiny,
yeah,
which are, you know, very conservative in their take on things. But on the other hand, are very contemporary in their presentation.
Yes, and I think for a lot of students as well, it's more that they had grown up Christian. It wasn't something they'd found after high school, although I think a lot of people had gone through youth groups, and I know that's sort of...
Yes, phenomenon of the youth group has been... And youth group is generally the biggest, these days, the biggest level of impact of religion comes in the sort of mid-teenage years, I think.
Yeah.
But typically that's all thrown off at university. Instead, it seems to be rebranded a bit. But what they're seeing in the States is that it's the Catholic and Orthodox churches with very, very strong traditions, not contemporary. They don't have rock bands running, typically, in a Catholic mass.
Yeah.
So there's something really interesting about this. Is a search for tradition part of the good Jordan Peterson appeal? I think it might be in some way.
Yeah. Someone has asked also on the text line if this has something to do with the manosphere, which is related to Jordan Peterson.
Oh, of course, yes.
Yeah.
And so in the manosphere, you can identify yourself as, and you feel reaffirmed, there's nothing wrong with you. And you can kind of find yourself and be proud of yourself, and shame is not acceptable anymore. So perhaps it is all part of those features. But there is, though, something also of a kind of cultural denial going on in those that join Catholicism, because they're rejecting the modern world in some ways.
Yeah, not the modern world in its entirety, but the social structures of the modern world. And I think there's also people who, I think there's this dislike of complexity in terms of people's identity and how you as a person interact with the world and interact with others. It's people feel overwhelmed by that.
Yeah.
Rather than appreciating it.
Yes, and if that is the case, I mean, it may tell us something about the future. Remember, Charlie Kirk's organisation in the States was a kind of reflection of that too.
It totally was, yeah.
And so the spheres of the mega world mean that it's especially present maybe in the USA.
Yeah.
But in different forms, it's present, certainly. They're reporting the same phenomenon in the UK and across Europe.
Yeah.
There are places where, in some ways, they're much more confronted with the choice between tradition and modernity. Because tradition is everywhere, and the appeal of discovering the tradition seems to have an added impact these days.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm sure, I mean, a part of that is going to, without delving too deeply into it, I'm sure, but in some senses, white nationalist movements and the romanticisation, shall we say, to put it lightly, of a Europe past, and it's a yearning for a past that, where certain social structures were much more entrenched.
That would be true. But the odd thing about, say, the Catholic phenomenon in New Zealand, and Catholicism is going a bit against the trends. It isn't declining at anything like the rate at which Anglicans and Presbyterians and Methodists are declining. But if you go to a Catholic church, you won't see that many white faces.
Yeah.
Full of Pacifica and Filipinos and Africans and people from Asia.
Yeah.
So certainly in New Zealand, we're not seeing this phenomenon to the same extent, or we're seeing a different version of it.
Mm.
And I do half wonder if the content, even in the States, may not be as strongly racialized. I don't know that it's a white phenomenon.
Mm.
Part of the phenomenon in the US is the huge number of Spanish people in the USA, and their natural Catholicism may well be returning.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. It's something to keep an eye on, I'm sure.
Yes, it really is. I wish I had more answers for you.
Yeah. We've got another text that's come through just quickly before you go. Someone's inquiring about how it relates to Pete Hegseth, and who sees himself as a crusader. But maybe that's a bit. Is what? If you have any thoughts on that, or is it a bit?
Do you mean that people relate to these less glorious parts of the Western tradition?
Yes.
You know, there's an enormous amount of language in Western culture about domination and about the empire and the rejection of empire and the rejection of the vocation of Europeans clearly stings some people. And so I think it's certainly true that the longing to return to the days of white supremacy, or perhaps we should say, I don't think it's necessarily racialized, but it's certainly the empire, and the empire is striking back. I remember challenging the use of the term crusaders for the rugby team when it was first adopted. I found that I wasn't at all popular in Canterbury.
Yeah.
These things. And it's quite interesting that there should be an appeal for that in a very male-dominated sport.
Yeah.
So perhaps that theme is a real one.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. Maybe a topic for next week. But thank you so much, Peter, for your time.
Good to talk to you.
Good to talk. Catch you next week.
Bye.
Bye.